All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Carey Crowley, and it's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest, longtime friend of the show now, Robert Murray. Bert, what's going on today?
Not too much, man. Just hanging out at the ballpark. How are you?
Doing quite well. You're at the ballpark in Milwaukee. I'm headed out to Oracle Park here shortly, and you are seeing a great Brewers team the Giants just saw. We're going to get to them in a moment, but I kind of want your impressions as a national reporter for FanSided. I want to see how your impressions of this Giants-Dodgers rivalry has evolved over the course of the season, because at the beginning of the year, it was all Dodgers-Padres. That was the talk. And now in September, it's two teams atop this NL West race, and it has been fascinating to see unfold, especially with Friday night's game.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Like, yesterday's game was absolutely bonkers. And as you said, going into the season, the talk was surrounding the Dodgers and the Padres. And the Padres, they look good to start, and they've kind of faded off. They've been a really inconsistent team, and they've really fallen off lately. And the Giants have maintained what they've been able to do all season. And it's shaping up to be one of the most competitive races, actually the most competitive races of the rest of the season here. And as we got to see yesterday, it is going to be absolutely intense, nail-biting. It's going to come down to the smallest of details. I cannot picture a better rivalry right now in baseball, and what it's been able to do for the game and what it's going to end up looking like for the playoffs is just going to be completely fascinating.
Ah, that's a great point, and especially considering that the Yankees and the Red Sox could come down to the end and fight for the wild card berth, and that rivalry has gotten so much national play, I think it just shows that the Giants-Dodgers rivalry is really a cut above right now. You mentioned it. It's a game of inches. Will Smith coming off the bag last night, allowing Buster Posey to reach first base on Trey Turner's wide throw. That was the difference for the Giants. You wrote a great piece earlier in the week, maybe it was a week ago, talking about Lamont Wade Jr. and what he's meant to the Giants organization, Farhan Zaidi, his ability to identify talent. Share with your readers a little bit about Lamont Wade Jr. and the story that you told there.
Yeah, he was a hidden gem that Farhan and the front office identified right away. And they liked his skills immediately, but they also really thought that he could end up having a nice power bat, and he could unlock that with a couple of swing changes. And he's worked with a private hitting coach that he ended up using in college, and he's been able to work with him more. And he's implemented those changes into the season here, and it's unlocked what the Giants thought he's been able to do, and then some. He's not been able to end up taking an everyday role. He's only been able to do it against right-handed pitchers and still struggles against left-handers. But they think he can be better against left-handers. But what he's been able to do this season, and for what they ended up giving up, basically a journeyman pitcher, it's one of Farhan Zaidi's best moves, and it's also underrated nationally, because even though he's been so good, not many people know about him, but he's been a huge key to the Giants' success this year.
I don't think anyone in San Francisco would argue with that. He's already got a T-shirt giveaway coming up in the month of September. That's how popular Lamont Wade Jr. has become along the shores of McCovey Cove. Rob, I want to ask you a question about pitching philosophy, because the Giants right now are down to three healthy starters, Alex Wood on the COVID IL, Johnny Cueto on the 10-day IL. And I want to ask you about the bullpen game strategy the Giants are going to use on Saturday and Sunday against the Dodgers. It's something we've seen the Dodgers use. It's something that you saw the Milwaukee Brewers use a couple of seasons ago early in the playoffs. Can it be effective for a team, not just over the course of 162, but into October? Can a bullpen get you through a game when it comes time for the playoffs?
I do think it can. I think it can only work to a certain extent. You can't use it too much, but it provides such a different look. And these teams that have been able to do it, like even the Rays and the Brewers and the Dodgers, have been able to do it really effectively. I know Fabian Ardaia, who's a good friend of the both of us, wrote a really nice piece in The Athletic about just how good the Dodgers have been in bullpen games. And it's basically, I think he ended up using it to, like, their stats were equivalent to what Gerrit Cole's been able to do in New York. So it certainly can work. I don't think you can do it too much, but certainly these analytic-driven teams, they're exploiting it and they're using it to their advantage, and it's paid off, especially for the Dodgers. And I can only imagine how it's going to work for the Giants, because that team is viewed locally and also nationally as probably the smartest team in baseball, and that's a huge credit to the coaching staff that's so deep, and also the front office that's so smart and savvy.
Gosh, that's really interesting to hear you say that, because you are the national insider for FanSided. You do cover all 30 teams in Milwaukee right now, getting a look at a Brewers team that has to be regarded as one of the smartest in baseball with what David Stearns has done for that club, extracting all the talent, getting them into a first-place position in the NL Central. When do you think this switch started to flip in San Francisco? Farhan Zaidi hired November of 2018. Gabe Kapler hired November 2019. 29-31 in 2020. When did people start to pick up on the idea that the Giants really have something different, unique, and special going on inside Oracle Park?
Yeah, I think that happened last year, because, or even basically as soon as those guys ended up coming to San Francisco, nationally at least, it was viewed as a pretty big rebuild that these guys would have to do. All of a sudden, you see this team hang around 500, right in that range, and that was a lot better than expected. You expected the Giants to take a step forward this year, but maybe not something too great, especially not to this effect. But the fact that they were able to like ramp up this rebuild so quickly, even at the beginning of it, I think that's when people realized, okay, this Giants team has a shot to be something really special. But to this extent, like, I don't think anybody could have seen this coming, because what they've been able to do this year, it's a storyline of baseball. Like, they are the best team with talent that they've had for decades. It's a credit to the coaching staff, and it's a credit to the front office. With the operation that they have there, there's going to be a lot of teams who try to implement it and probably try to steal people away from San Francisco. But with Kapler, with Farhan Zaidi running the show, I don't know how successful these teams are going to be and end up trying to replicate, because they're just two really good, smart baseball people.
Yeah, I wrote about it for the Mercury News recently. The Giants are definitely going to have a situation in the offseason where talent is going to be poached. And, you know, maybe someone looks at Scott Harris as a general manager to go be their present baseball operations. One thing working in the Giants' favor, he's from the Bay Area. Maybe someone looks at Donnie Ecker as a potential hitting coach, bench coach, manager somewhere else. One thing working in the Giants' favor, he grew up a Giants fan. He's from the Bay Area. So they've got local talent in this pipeline that will be really difficult to get out of San Francisco. Bert, I want to flip the attention over to the Milwaukee Brewers team that you're covering right now. David Stearns has done a really nice job. Craig Counsell certainly will get consideration alongside Gabe Kapler for Manager of the Year. What has Milwaukee been able to... Or I guess, how has Milwaukee been able to keep up with enough offense to make sure that they're not losing all of the great work that their pitching staff has done this season?
Yeah, it's like that offense was really inconsistent to start the year, and it was a huge concern internally for the Brewers. But as soon as they ended up acquiring Willy Adames and adding some other complementary pieces, but it really started with Adames, he changed their season. And like the people here even say that, like, Adames has been flat out brilliant, both defensively and offensively. Like, if he ended up starting the season in Milwaukee, I'm pretty confident he would end up being in the MVP discussion. I don't think he's going to end up being in the top five by any means, but it started with Adames, and all these other guys have been starting to hit too. And you can see Yelich starting to hit. He's been a lot better lately after a really slow start to the year. And a lot of their complementary pieces, even Luis Urias, he had zero home runs last year, and now he's got double-digit homers. It's been a collective effort, but the addition of Willy Adames changed the game for the Brewers, and it's combined with their pitching. They are going to be a nightmare in the postseason. Like, I know the Dodgers and the Giants get a lot of talk, and rightfully so. But I think the most dangerous team in the playoffs that's going to be in the playoffs is the Milwaukee Brewers. And that front three with Woodruff, Corbin Burns, and Freddie Peralta is, yeah, as I said, it's a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, I don't think that many Giants fans would argue that after seeing Milwaukee come through San Francisco this week and win 3 of 4 with that great staff and that great bullpen. You've got Boxberger, Devin Williams, who struggled on Thursday, and then Josh Hader shutting the door. That's an October bullpen right there. A few more for you, Bert. NL, AL wildcard races, how do you see these things shaking out? Obviously, we know the team at the top of the NL wildcard race is going to be either the Giants or the Dodgers, whoever doesn't win the division. Who gets that second spot in your mind?
Hey, sorry, you ended up cutting out there.
Who gets that second spot in your mind in the NL wildcard race? Obviously, the Giants or the Dodgers will be the top team, whoever finishes in second place in the division. But who gets that other spot? Is it St. Louis? Is it Cincinnati? San Diego? Who in your mind takes over that spot?
Yeah, that is a really interesting question. You can even include the Philadelphia Phillies in there, too. It's a four-headed race. I know the Reds have been really good lately, but this Cardinals team, they got to see it yesterday. They look like they're heating up. Their offense is starting to click a little bit. Paul Goldschmidt's been arguably the best hitter in baseball in the last few weeks or so. And Nolan Arenado hit 2 home runs yesterday and could have easily had 4. They're a very dangerous team. Their pitching is going to be a big question. My gut tells me it's going to end up being the Cardinals. I think that's the team you end up having to watch out for. I'm not optimistic about the Padres because they just seem like they're just going downhill and it's not getting any better. The Reds are dangerous. It's going to end up, in my opinion, coming down to the Reds and the Cardinals, and my gut tells me it's going to end up being the Cardinals who come out on top of the second wildcard spot here.
Oh, what a comeback story that would be for that club in the second half. One more for you, Bert. AL wild card. How do you see that shaking out? Who's your favorite in terms of winning that race, and who do you see also partaking in the game, and this is the second wild card team?
Sorry, you ended up cutting out there again.
Let's talk about the AL wildcard game and who you see coming out of the AL in those two spots.
Yeah, it's like for me, like you end up looking at Boston, you end up looking at Oakland. Those are the two teams that you end up really looking. And for both of them, they've had their struggles this year. One, with Boston, they have a current COVID outbreak, and they've done a really good job ending up getting out in front of that. They have been able to withstand those losses. I think they have 9 guys in the COVID IL right now. And Oakland ended up losing Liriano, which is a massive blow. So to me, I mean, they've been lucky they ended up getting Starling Marte, which kind of eased the blow for them. My gut tells me it's going to end up being Boston who comes out on top. I think they're a really good team. They got a good operation there. And the fact that they've ended up withstanding all of these losses, despite there being so many, I think is a testament to what they have there. And having a Yankees and Red Sox wild card, that would be completely fascinating to me. That's, I mean, we talked earlier about the Dodgers and the Giants, but the Yankees and Red Sox have been baseball's best rivalry for a long time. It's a storied rivalry, and having that for a winner-take-all wildcard game would be absolutely electric.
Well, it's been a great month of September thus far, only a few days in, and it should be a really fascinating finish to the season. Robert Murray, we'll keep things posted on fansided.com. Great work, as always. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
All right, a lot more coming up next on Talking Baseball. Marty, Bill, and Kerry, you're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.